So I'm Mike with REFO. We're just doing interviews of different folks around. Who are you and what brought you down here today?
Sure. So Waste Camp Resource Solutions is a 25-year-old nonprofit. We do work within all of Wisconsin, but also some work outside Wisconsin. And essentially, we help institutions and businesses get to zero waste. So obviously, as a major pillar of sustainability, you know, we help schools on the back end deal with what's going out the door and making sure that their recycling is getting in the recycling bins, their trash is getting trash bins, discovering whether or not they could institute a compost program, that sort of thing. We work inside the schools to make sure that the waste collection points are clearly labeled, that there's good access to them, so that you're not having people give up and throw trash in the recycling bin or recycling in the trash bin. And then primarily we work on the purchasing side. So if we can help control what's coming in the door, it's much easier to control what's going out the door. And the savings are 1,000 times more if you don't buy something in the first place than if you manage to figure out how to recycle it on the back end.
So do you have a contract with MPS then, or how does that work?
We've worked with MPS on and off, usually on either small one-off projects or larger when they put out an RFP for something. And for example, we just completed an effort to help them reuse a lot of their materials that have been sitting in warehouses and attics and things like that. So that was tables and chairs and equipment and things like that that were kind of out of style or out of fashion or whatever, had been replaced and weren't broken. They could be reused perfectly, but there's no sense to sending them to the landfill. So we helped manage a resale event for them. And they primarily sold within the school system. So schools figured out, oh, wait, hey, there's this stockpile of chairs over here that we need chairs. Okay, let's get them over here. And then once that window closed, then it opened to the public. And then the public could purchase that overstock as well.
UWM does something similar, I've discovered. They have, forgot what it's called, but they have basically like a warehouse system. Internal use first, and then they'll go like sell to nonprofits, and then they'll sell it like bidders.
Exactly. And one of our board members was actually the previous manager of the UWM Salvage Group. And we, when we did our larger effort with UWM, doing the resource management, salvage was a small portion of what we worked with UWM on.
I would imagine, we mentioned the purchasing side, I would imagine that's a huge challenge when you're working with a large entity that has ingrained processes. Like, how do you chip away at that? Do you, like, do a wholesale systems change thing? Like, how do you actually attack that problem?
We work as much as we can within the systems that they already have. We're not out here to sell new purchasing systems, right? The biggest challenge that we find with some school systems, not with all school systems, but with some school systems, where the philosophy is you get X amount of money, and if you don't spend it next year, your budget is going to be less. That system encourages waste. It encourages schools to spend money on stuff they don't need, stockpile it, sits in a room, gets forgotten about, whatever. But they're just spending every dime they can in order to make sure they don't have money cut from their budget because they might need it for something next year. Exactly. So that, I think, is probably the biggest hurdle to overcome. And the real goal is to figure out how to work within the system to change those budgetary systems and get it to a model where if you reduce your budget on one thing this year, then you can allocate that budget to maybe a different segment, right? If you can move that even just from school supplies to infrastructure, you could get more recycling bins, right, or something like that.
You're rewarded for it instead of penalized.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, what have you seen, like, working locally? Like, how has that ball been moving? It sounds like a Sisyphean task.
Moves very slowly. and some, for example, like, some principals have more leeway, more flexibility than others. Sometimes, like a recycling bin, you might be able to kind of creatively reassign it from like one budgetary category to another. There's very few margins where you can really do that. But In general, if you can make the pitch, like especially schools that really engage their community, if they can really make the pitch to their community and say, look, we did this thing and it cut our consumption of paper, for example, by 10% this year. We have more steps we can do, but we need your help talking to the school boards and things like that. And if you get the, if the school can get their community engaged with the school boards, that really helps push things politically to get those funding dollars moved from one segment to another.
I was going
to
say, I was going to ask, do you have like a model language that you would put before board members? Like, this is how you could make a systems change here. Like, is there language that is like floating around out there that people want to touch people on? Or
yeah, we kind of did. But as we work with each school system, like, we realize there are so many things that are different, it kind of goes out the door.
Do you have
so you kind of start from
scratch. Do you
have
any Milwaukee schools that you have strong partnerships with right now?
I would say that's part of why we're here, is to help build stronger relationships with, because this is the green and healthy schools, right? Pretty much every school here should be interested in recycling, should be interested in recycling more, and you can toss my coffee over the table. And so we've had kind of relationships in the past, more so on like one-off efforts and things like that, and we're really trying to work it into a much larger engagement across, if anything, just across this network of schools, right?
And I don't need to keep this next part if you're not comfortable, but like funding mechanisms, like how are you supported as a nonprofit?
There are some small activities. Oh, well, us in general.
Yeah, WasteCap.
Yeah, WasteCap in general is really fee-for-service funded.
It is, okay.
About 90% of our budget comes from the work that we do. So in that way, we actually operate way more like a for-profit.
Sure.
But that's just because so many grants aren't keyed towards actual waste reduction in a institution or in a building. There's grants that'll help you get carts. There's grants that'll help you get bins. There's carts or grants that'll maybe help you do strategic planning or things like that. But nothing really tied to actual efforts to reduce your waste and change the structure within a school, which it takes time and effort.
So
and people have other things on
the pitch basically to a school. Like, let's say I'm a school administrator. Do I see, like, I'm paying WasteCap, but like I get the return is that I spent way less money on my disposal fees or my purchasing fees. So like,
exactly.
I'm actually like not making money, but like budgetarily it makes sense. That's like the pitch, right?
That's part of it, right?
Okay.
So
on the economic side.
On the economic side. And then on the environmental side, obviously there's that too.
Yeah.
And what we've been able to do in the last couple years is using the EPA WARM model and a couple other tools.
EPA what?
The EPA WARM model.
I don't know that model.
Oh, okay. It's a you can go to the EPA website or just Google EPA WARM model. And what you can do there is you can give it two scenarios for waste diversion. And like, let's say you can say, I in the baseline model, it's 1 ton of paper to the landfill, and in the revised model, it's 1 ton of paper to recycling. It'll tell you the greenhouse gas impact.
Okay.
It'll tell you the recycling, the local economy impact, and things like that. So we use EPA WARM model, plus a few other tools, to paint the environmental and broader economic picture. Because it really does, waste affects so much more than just landfills. It's the energy that it took to make the products, to move the products. It's the water that it took to make the products. It's the habitat destruction that came with sourcing the raw material.
Two more questions, but
sure.
Interjecting, have you connected
with... We could talk trash all day,
right?
So...
Nice. Have you connected with Plastic Free Milwaukee? Are you familiar with that entity?
Yes.
Okay, because it's not a nonprofit, but it's sort of in the same space, trying to do that process change stuff. And they're probably here today, so...
Yep.
Okay, you're connected.
Yep. We actually have a... we host a recycling directory that covers all of Wisconsin.
Okay.
And that covers all of the recycling, reuse, waste-to-energy, landfill options, haulers, and processors in Wisconsin. And you can find that on our website if you Google WasteCap Recycling Directory.
Okay.
free tool. Anybody can jump on there and use.
I just feel like
they help feed into that.
On the purchasing side, they're facing those similar kinds of challenges, but also they're in the same space, I think.
Yeah. Which is focus entirely on plastics. We look at everything.
Right. So then the second to last question is, what about... This is something I've observed, and I've also heard people talk about, but maybe you're an expert on it. Like, when the truck goes away with the recycling truck, but all the stuff blows out of the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you involved in that kind of process change, too? Where, like, people are throwing stuff in the right bins, but then it's, like, all over the place because it's not contained when it's disposed.
Right. Obviously, you can only really control yourself and your containers and things like that. But, yeah, in the industry, it's called leakage.
Okay.
And there is leakage in pretty much every step of the way, and that's where most litter comes from. Although definitely you see people driving down the road throwing stuff out their window. Most leakage is from bins sitting outside, uncovered, tops open, then from the backs of trucks, and at the transfer points. So we don't work necessarily specifically with people on that end. We're trying to kind of at the source, reduce, reuse, and recycle at the source.
And then personally, professionally, like how did you get into this line of work?
That's a long story. I started in architecture. From there, I made a personal decision that we shouldn't be building things that are harming the environment. And so from green design, I went from green building design to green building operations. And from green building operations, I was working all over the world. I've worked on every continent. And I got a call saying, hey, do you want to, I know you got young kids, do you want to stay in Wisconsin? You want to, stop flying all over the world to help people reduce their waste, which, and energy and everything else, which is a little bit counterproductive. But, and I said, yep, sure. And so my world narrowed from everything, waste, energy, water, site, human health, etc., down to just waste. And I thought it would be easy. And I realized very quickly how much I did not know about waste. It is impossibly complex. And so really, it helps to have an expert on your side. And I won't say it, that I've even scratched the surface. I think maybe another 20 years and I'll know more.
What is your role? What's your title or role?
I'm the executive director of WasteCap Resource Johnson.
Okay, so I'm talking to the right person. Cool. That's the last question I have, but I'm trying to think. Oh, I know what I was going to ask.